Welcome to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Come on to the theatre.
Hello and welcome back to episode 70 of the Manx Theatre Podcast with me, Neil Cowan. Thank you to everyone who's listened to all of our previous episodes. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome along and thanks for joining us. In this podcast, we like to try and keep you up to date with what's going on in theatre on the Isle of Man, chatting to the cast and creatives of upcoming shows to find out a little bit more about the shows and the people behind them, and also what our Manx born and bred performers are doing further afield.
Coming up on this week's podcast,
I caught up with my fellow cast members, Bryony Grant, Lauren Molyneux and Catherine Toohey, just before our final rehearsal room run-through of Two Feathers' production of Little Shop of Horrors, which opens at the Gaiety Theatre this Saturday, the 19th of July. You can still listen to all of our previous episodes through all the usual podcast outlets and at manxradio.com/podcasts. If you're enjoying the podcast, whilst you're there, make sure to give us a like and a 5-star review and click subscribe or follow or whatever it is you need to do to make sure you never miss an episode. Giving the podcast a review also helps make it more available for other listeners to find. In the last episode, I mentioned the auditions had been happening over the weekend for the DCU's February 2026 production of Guys and Dolls, but the cast list had not yet been released at the time of recording. Well, no sooner had I sent the episode to be published than the cast list was revealed. Now, the role of Miss Adelaide is still to be cast, with additional applications only closing on the 6th of July. However, the rest of the principal cast is as follows. Nathan Detroit will be played by Simon Fletcher. Sky Masterson will be played by David Brittles. Sarah Brown will be played by Evie Skillicorn. Nicely Nicely Johnson, one of my favourite roles, will be played by Jonathan Slight. Benny Southstreet by Thomas Ian Dixon. Big Julie by Jeff Pugh. Arvide Abernathy by Chris Jagus. Lieutenant Brannigan by Michael Bonner. And General Matilda B. Cartwright by Sarah Brew. There are many more people in the cast, including the Hotbox Chicks, but we'll reveal them and the rest of the cast members in a later episode when we get closer to the actual show itself. The Isle of Man Arts Council has recently announced the opening of applications for student bursaries for the 2025-26 academic year, supporting students studying the arts and who are moving into further, higher and postgraduate education. Up to 6 annual bursaries are available, each worth £10,000 over the duration of a course. They exist to help cover the costs of travel, course fees, accommodation or equipment related to higher or further education in the arts on or off Ireland. The Isle of Man Arts Council is also inviting applications for its July funding round, with the newly updated online portal now live. Individuals and organisations are encouraged to apply ahead of the deadline, which is this Friday, the 11th of July, with successful submissions considered at the Council's next funding meeting on Friday, the 25th of July. So if you have an application to put in, don't delay, get it in now. This episode has been made possible by funding from the Isle of Man Arts Council. For full details of the funding available and the application deadlines, check out their website at iomarts.com. That's it for now, but make sure you keep up to date with what's going on between episodes by following Manx Theatre Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
I'm joined in the podcast today by some of my fellow cast members from Two Feathers' imminent production of Little Shop of Horrors, which opens at the Gaiety next Saturday, the 12th of July. Please welcome back Bryony Grant and Lauren Molyneux, and making her Manx Theatre Podcast debut, Catherine Toohey.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
There you go.
Ladies, welcome to the podcast. So we're here again today to talk about Little Shop of Horrors because it's getting very close and very exciting. In fact, tonight is the third Thursday, the 3rd of July. Mm-hmm. It is our last rehearsal here in the rehearsal rooms before we move on to the theatre this weekend. Yeah. And all the hairs have just stood up on my arm while I mentioned that. So it's getting that exciting stage, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, Sunday, Sitz Probe. Favourite part.
Yeah, it is always the best part, to be fair. Sitz Probe's always fun. Although I always feel like it's bittersweet when you leave the hall because we spend a long time. I mean, okay, it's probably not the most aesthetically pleasing hall, but we spend a lot of time down here. We spend more time here than we do in the theatre. And I think it's always a big change when you go, you know, we're not going to be standing behind a clothing rail and on a little weird speed bump stoop and things. So it's, all the memories from here. But it's very exciting to be going to the theatre.
Yes, we must remember to clean the whiteboard before we go.
Take a picture.
I've already got one, don't you worry.
Yeah, because through the rehearsals, we've had lots of little sort of funny little bits and pieces, and they've all been put up on the whiteboard.
Little jokes and memories.
Yeah, little memories for us, yeah. It's nice. But, Sitz Probe. I love Sitz Probe because, I mean, there's nearly always one song in the show where there's a bit of a line that I struggle with, and I get to Sitz Probe and suddenly... The guitars are playing my line.
Makes sense.
The guitars are playing, but I should be singing.
What song are you most looking forward to hearing? That's its probe.
Oh, hearing. Mm-hmm. Anything that you sing, to be honest, because...
Mm-hmm. Okay, that wasn't actually aimed as like a give me a compliment.
I mean, like, yeah.
But thanks, yeah.
The opening and the finale ultimo.
Yeah, all the bookends.
Yeah, the bookends where you come out with your wonderful harmonies are just... Mwah!
It's get it for me, feed me.
Get it, the bass.
That one, I feel like that's going to be
It's going to be really funky. Yeah.
It's great. That.
And it's suddenly Seymour, I think, just for the
at the end.
Big swell at the end of sound, I think will be really nice.
It's kind of gospel-y, isn't it?
Yeah, it is gospel-y, yeah.
And we're really lucky because we sing so much.
Yeah.
I don't need to tell you girls that. Yeah. We're in almost every number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked about this in the last episode. We're saying that the three of you, the urchins, they're kind of omnipresent. They're everywhere all the time. Yeah. I suppose, how does the story feel for you guys? Because it probably feels slightly different than it does for us.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's almost like we're not involved in it.
Yeah.
We're kind of, because all the other characters are like involved in the story. They have relationships with all the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we don't. We kind of, we're there and we see everything and we're involved in everything, but we're not involved
in anything.
We don't have relationships with anybody really, and we're not.
You interact with everyone at some point.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
But I think all the interactions aren't genuine interactions anyway. It feels like they're interacting because we want something, or we want them to do something, or we need them to stay where they are, so we're interacting with them to keep them there.
We're manipulating quite
very much.
Yeah. Pushing Seymour and Audrey towards each other.
Yes,
and
very much kind of the puppet masters, I think.
Planting the seeds for the dentist's demise. And
yeah, and there's a lot of, I think, foresight that the urchins have to know what's going to happen or who needs to be where and who needs to realise things. And we kind of do a lot of nudging in the right direction.
Pushing the story along.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of a bit like, I mean, this comparison's been made earlier today. You're a bit like the Muses in Hercules.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Take that.
I'm always happy within Muses, but we are, because look at Hercules. It starts with the Muses telling the story and doing like, this is what this show is about.
And it's also a bit of a zero to hero.
And it is. And that's the end song. And they bookend it as well. And they do the same kind of thing. They do have moments of interaction. I like Disney. I don't know if you know this.
Do you?
I don't know if anyone is aware.
Didn't you work at Disney for a while?
I might have done. Yeah, I might have done. But they have moments of interaction with people, like with Meg,
mm-hmm.
which is actually kind of similar to what we do before Somewhere That's Green with that, because we're like, but isn't there someone maybe that you already know? Come on, figure it out. They're doing the same thing. So we are basically the Muses, and I'm more than happy with that. Yeah.
And I think it's often described, the girls are often described as a Greek chorus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I always think of the three girls in Hadestown, another Greek
chorus. They are very much similar. Yeah, very similar. Yeah.
So it's good fun.
Yeah, it is.
What's the favourite part of the show for you?
Mm. To be in or to see?
Well, either.
I love watching Mushnik and Son.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And yet that's one of the few numbers that
we're not in it. We're nowhere.
But we love it. We love to see it.
We don't know what the rest of the show looks like.
No.
Yeah, there's like that number about
Mushnik and Son. But to be, I think I like doing the Meek Shall Inherit.
Yeah, that's
when
quite fun.
When it goes right,
it's going to be different every single
night.
When it
goes right, it's great.
It's fun. I do enjoy that. I don't know. I enjoy quite a lot of it. I also do enjoy Somewhere That's Green going into Close for Renovation, because it goes from the only time really where we get to sort of just sit down, and we're on stage but we're not singing.
Yeah,
we're just kind of there, and it's nice, and it's lovely watching Meg as well, because it's just really cute and really sweet. And then
gorgeous.
She is. And then going into Close for Renovation, where it's a bit more frantic and chaos and hectic, and we get to have a bit of a funny dance and things, and it's good fun.
So Meg's playing Audrey, and she's doing a fantastic job,
great.
Isn't she?
Yeah, she's a little babe. We love Meg.
And as we said last time, we've got Jack Divers playing Seymour Quailborn,
mm-hmm.
Charlie Williams playing Oren Scrivello, the dentist.
Mm-hmm. We know.
yes, we do.
I mean, that you two have got some, or three rather, have you got some... fun with Charlie in his dentist song.
Oh, it is me.
You can call it that.
I don't know. You're the one that... You're the feisty one.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, you are feisty.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think that's my favourite number to do.
To be fair, that's up there. It's one of those, it's just one of those things. I knew before we even started rehearsals that any time I'd have to be on stage with Charlie Williams was going to be difficult because it's not ever going to be the same twice. And he will deliberately try and you know, be funny because that's the point of the role.
Yes.
And it is hard sometimes.
I
not
quite like
to laugh.
That though.
It's fun.
I like having the different, I like having the change. I like sometimes knowing what you, not knowing what you're going to get.
Yeah. Although when
it
he
makes
added,
it more fun.
He added the little bit that he now does at the end of the song, which just happened one day. I really struggled to keep anything together and look remotely the right emotion that was meant to be displaying because it's just really funny. That happens a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
your face just hijack you.
Oh, it really does. Yeah, it's very expressive.
Your subtitles on your face.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I mean, any time that Charlie's on, so I mean, his character is really only in the show for about 15-20 minutes, and then he's gone. But the time that he's here, he certainly makes the most of it. And I...
Shut up!
That's him.
That's him right now.
That was Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie. Oh. But I say he's only in for sort of 15, 20 minutes. But when he's in, he surely makes the most of being there. And the scene in the flower shop when I'm stood outside, hiding, listening to what's going on inside the store. And
it's... I'm very loath to compliment him in such a way. However, I do think that it takes a special kind of performer to be able to make such an impact with such a small amount of time on stage.
Yeah.
Because he's really, out of everybody on stage, the least out of all of the... In fact, probably out of all of the cast is on stage the least.
If you can come in and steal the show with one number...
100%.
You've done something right, haven't you?
Those parts often have the most impact.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And he... I mean, to be fair, he comes out of the room panting and sweating because he puts everything into it every time.
Likewise at the end of Mushtick and Son, because I've just had to follow the dentist, so we've got to give it everything follow that, right?
Yeah, but it's great. It's a nice it's nice to see that he's so kind of
seriously.
Can you stab it more quietly?
Stab your food quietly. But yeah, basically, it's very impressive to be able to perform in that way, and sounds great as well. Like he does a really good job with the singing as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have to apologise for the background noise. Jack Divers has come in and he's having his tea. He's putting it through the microwave. So
Seymour needs fuel.
Seymour does. And to be honest, I would rather he eat food than get hungry. So
well, yes, there is that. I mean, say don't feed the plants, but we need to feed Jack. We need to feed Jack. Yes.
Actually, I will also say, sorry, I'm just going to chime in, because I said Meg's great and she's a babe and Charlie's really good. Jack is also very good. Okay.
Yes.
He's also very good.
Oh yeah, him. Yeah, he's
all right. He's all right. Yeah. He's average.
You're okay too, Neil.
You're very good. You're watchable. What I really like that Jack does, and this is just from a musical point of view, I like in Giddit when he does all the riffy stuff and adds in all of the extra musical touches. It's quite nice because we get to kind of watch that. He's quite good. He's quite good at music.
Yeah.
He just sounds quite good. He's quite good at singing.
And I got to say, when Meg and Jack sing together and suddenly Seymour,
it's lovely.
It's
cute.
Gorgeous. Yeah. They're stunning together.
Yeah.
Yes, and I get to interrupt that at the end. So.
Yes, you do.
Depending how long he's made me hold my breath, might depend how long I tend to hold the kiss at the end.
That's fair. That's a fair play-off.
It's a place there, certainly, to get my own back anyway.
Yeah.
Another one we'd mentioned about this time is we've got kind of a 50-50, sort of half of the cast have been still here from Jersey Boys last year and a couple from Full Monty that have stayed on, and about half the cast are brand new to Two Feathers. And some, yes, Lauren being one of them, brand new this year.
Yeah.
And some of them
she's
moving.
Staying.
And she's staying. Yes. We're keeping
I'm going to try.
You're in now, you can't leave.
I'm gonna try.
And some of them are pretty brand new to theatre altogether, like Ian, for instance. Ian Manton is the voice of Audrey 2.
Yeah, he's fantastic, and he's also just walked in the door. What's going on? Are you like
summoning?
Yeah, you're just summoning everyone in.
I can't see people behind the veil. I'm just manning. Yeah,
no, he's just walked in as well. No, Ian's got a fantastic voice, and not only in the singing that he does, but I think in the delivery of the lines that he does as well.
Yeah,
because you can't just monotone the lines from the side of the stage for such a big character like the plant. It's got to have a voice to match.
And voice acting is hard. Yeah, like if you can't use your I mean, as actors, we're trained to use your voice and your body language and your gesture and your face. You can't use, and half of that is taken away from you, and you can only use your voice. It is really difficult, and that's difficult if you've been acting for years and years and years and years. So for somebody that
isn't
an experienced actor, it's hard to do voice acting, so he's done really, really well.
It's done really well. And it's really nice because obviously we get to sing with him, but not
with
sing
him.
With him. Yeah. So it's nice. It's nice doing stuff like Get It is.
Yeah,
is
I love that
fun.
One. I think that's my favourite song.
I mean, you see videos online of people like doing the recording for animations or doing like the ADR afterwards for films and stuff like that. And there's one of Hugh Jackman doing something for Wolverine, and he's like, if that was me doing Audrey 2 in the Wings, I'd certainly be bopping and dancing around and giving it beans.
Absolutely, I'd have my own choreography going.
I wouldn't just be sat in a chair in the corner with a microphone.
he does. He does a great job, fantastic job.
Brilliant. So let's give us a view of the story. What do you think? What would you say that the story of the show is? I mean, it's always a very difficult one because there's bits of spoilers in there as well. But I mean, I think the show is it's been around long enough for people to have a fair. I mean, there is a bit of a difference between the ending
differences
of the film,
aren't they?
Yes. Which everyone is most
I've not
familiar
seen the
with.
Film the for years, though. I can't really remember it.
We've got Rick Moranis, the wonderful, wonderful Rick Moranis playing Seymour. We've got Ellen Green as Audrey.
Yeah.
And Steve Martin as the dentist, which is just amazing.
Oh, yes, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
I mean, obviously the show is incredibly realistic, really true to life. just something that you could see happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
You could see it happening, definitely. No.
It's to raise awareness of
man-eating plants. Yeah, it is for an alien invasion. It's not. It's everything opposite to that. It is such a... I don't know.
Daft.
Quirky, zany, ridiculous story.
It's like a 50s, 60s B-movie.
It is like a B-movie. But there's a lot of kind of... I don't know. There's bits of heart
One of those shows... You know when you go to a show and you go... Like, there's ones that are a spectacle and you come away from that and you go, wow, that was amazing. That was... But this is not one of those, I feel, in that sense. This is one of those where people go to a show and they come out feeling... like they've lived their best life and they come out feeling really good.
Yeah.
So it's a really feel good, you have fun.
Yeah.
And people will come out smiling, I feel.
Like it's silly, isn't it? It's such a
very silly.
It's a silly show, but in a really good way. Like there's some really nice touching moments in it, but it's just silly, which is just, so it's just fun. It's just escapism.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really nice thing as well. I will forever go on about the music.
The music
is brilliant.
There is real heart in it. And I think one of the reasons I've always loved it is because it's so silly, but the music at times is quite serious.
It is.
In a weird kind of way. And when you've got that juxtaposition of like almost hymn-like music at times with ridiculous lyrics.
Yeah.
And some really awkward really timings good. as well.
Yeah. Pulls me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's not just straightforward music.
No.
We like it. Every song in the show is great.
Yeah.
There is, genuinely, I don't
There's not
think
one I don't like.
No, there isn't. No. There's often in shows, there's
usually
there's
at least one the haunch.
Where you're like, oh,
yeah.
Get through this one. Or,
if you're listening to it on the album, there's like, skip that one. Skip that one.
No, all of them are great. Yeah. All of them are really good.
I am missing Mean Green Mother from Outer Space.
Oh, yeah.
That was always my favourite song from the film and stuff. And I was a little bit sad when we found out that wasn't in this version.
I've totally just realised that's not in the show.
And then as happens a lot with musical adaptations, there are changes that happen from films or from original versions or from Broadway versions and from like UK versions. There's certain songs that we have or certain songs that we don't have. And in this song we have a couple of different songs actually, because we have
You Never Know.
Yeah, You Never Know. You Never Know is another song that isn't always in it. It's Some Fun Now.
Yes.
Is in the movie. Oh, so we don't have that. We have You Never Know instead.
Yes.
Ours is better.
Which is better.
Yeah.
I think it's better. It's great fun.
And things lend themselves differently to stage than they do.
Yes.
Yeah, to screen. Yeah, yeah. So that's nice. But yeah, every single song is great. And there's great harmonies, which is always
that's
my favourite thing.
Love.
Yeah. Like all the time. I don't think there's a single point where... Maybe there's like a couple of bits here and there where we sing in unison.
I think there's maybe like six bars in the whole show where we sing.
Everything else is three-part harmony, which is delightful.
Yes.
I love that. So much fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has been really fun to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our voices blend really well together.
They do,
like,
actually.
If we do sing, they do.
Yes.
Which is really nice.
Honestly.
You know, that wasn't guaranteed.
Really.
Was it after, like, the first rehearsal where, because there was a few rehearsals where there was only two of us because one of us wasn't here.
Yeah,
And I think it was the first one where it was all three of us. We were like, we sound good, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, Charlie mentioned this in the last one. Like, one of the first sort of big full cast rehearsals, and we were up at Sarah and Dave's, and we sat there, and the three of you straight off at the start, boom, and then everyone's like, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, I very rarely toot my own horn, blow my own trumpet. However, I think we had, what, maybe one rehearsal with the three of us together before the rest of the cast.
Wow, okay.
And from that, had learnt all the music and had done everything. And yeah, so...
I feel, feel like we are three people who like a challenge as well. Like we enjoy to give ourselves a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we did.
Yeah, we did. And we did it.
It was hard.
But that was really handy.
You probably knew it all anyway. Did you know
it? Is that just because my brain works? No.
Yeah.
No,
did
you not?
No?
Okay, so I knew it. Like
loads of it.
Yeah. Mine's the easiest as well because it's on the top.
Yeah.
So I mean, none of it.
My ear will pick up the top
easily.
The top. And I've grown up with this musical and I've done bits of it in my dancing school and bits at school and bits in schools when I was teaching.
Yes,
with
you did. You did. Actually, that's a story. So
various schools I taught at.
Various schools. When I was at school, I was, you know, towards the end of school because Catherine looks very young and is still very young but is still older than me
and but still younger than me
true so
senior
there you go.
Male I'm senior female of the company
and when I was at school Catherine was teaching at school and there was a point where
I take credit for all Bryony's musicals.
Yes, it was entirely you.
I was there for 5 minutes.
But when Catherine,
but the best, the most important 5 minutes
in that time, a very efficient teacher. But when Catherine was there, she obviously had choirs and things that she would run as a music teacher. And one of the songs that we did with the junior choir,
I'd forgotten.
So the junior choir
did it. QE2.
The junior choir did Skid Row, and she asked me to come in and do the what is the crystal solo at the start of the Skid Row thing. So that's like I remember it from that really.
Wow.
But I didn't know loads of the music before we started. And also, normally I would sing the soprano line. And I'm not singing the soprano line in this show. So I had to...
Sorry about it.
No, that's more than fine. It's quite nice, to be honest. It sits in quite a nice place.
It was so fun, though, when we were auditioning, because lots of girls auditioned for it, and it was very much, no, are you a middle, top, bottom? And Bryony was just like this interchangeable person.
I just went, whichever one, really.
Just tell me what you want me to sing, and
so
I'll sing it.
Harmony, that's all I want.
So versatile, it's incredible. So, yeah, and it was a bit like, I really don't want her to go at the top. Like,
the top. Yeah.
So it all worked out.
It did work out, Yeah, it did.
But, I mean, the three of you are all very, very musical anyway. I mean, I think... Both Lauren and Catherine, you've both been music teachers.
No.
Or no?
She's like, no.
No.
I'm drama and dance, darling. Mm-hmm. I don't do music.
Right.
I'm the only one of the three of us that doesn't read music.
Like, oh, really? Oh, wow.
She's done incredible.
That first rehearsal was hard for me in the way that these two kind of were just reading it and I couldn't read it. So I was like, I can't do it. I had to record everything and I kind of went away for 2 weeks and I learned by listening.
Yeah.
So then when I came back, I was like, I know it now. I look at this and thought like, it's, when you're with two people who are very musically trained, can read music and
But Lauren has...
Not even a little bit.
She has the most incredible brain though. Like she has to hear, her memory is...
Luckily,
amazing.
Yeah,
because it doesn't take her long at all, and she'll pick everything up, and we'll learn everything very, very quickly. So, it's been.
And then, like you say, we love a challenge.
We do.
The flip side is these two pick up the choreography, and Lauren's dance captain.
Yes.
Bryony's
yes.
assistant musical director. So, I only have one job, but then I also have to make sure the producer's happy.
You do. You also have to do that.
That's the most important job.
Like Lauren as our dance captain, like, and Bryony picks up choreography really quickly, and I'm just like a little bit behind them, and I'm blaming it on my age.
Can we just go one more time?
And like, I'm still asking, like, can I just clarify? And I said, Lauren, I'm going to keep Lauren working till the very last performance because I'll need to keep checking things.
Yeah.
It's just the way, you know, my brain doesn't retain things like that as quickly as these girls do.
But everybody's different, and when we've got choreography to learn, three-part harmonies to learn and maintain,
yeah,
but it's while you're out of breath, and lines to remember, and trying to stay in character, and trying to negotiate costumes and wigs and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Considering that's like, you know, the art of multitasking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a skill.
But for the majority of the show, it's one costume, isn't it? Which is great.
Yeah. That is nice.
Love it.
I mean, I was saying this time last year with Jersey Boys, last night I was realising we got to the interval, like, I'm still in the same costume.
Yeah.
With Jersey Boys, I'd had about 7 costume changes, 2 wig changes, a moustache and glasses by that point.
It's a lot, isn't it?
In Evita, I had 15.
Wow.
I know. 15 costumes and 4
that's
wigs.
That's unreal.
Yeah, I think I have 4 or 5 wigs and a lot of costumes. I can't even remember now. But yeah. No, it's nice, this. It's just one costume and then one change at the end. So, yeah, handy.
Yeah, and you've got a little bit of trap action as well.
We do have some trap action.
Never been at the trap before. I'm really excited.
We do have some trap action. We've got, hopefully, well, providing it all goes the way it should, we should be. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully, we'll get at least one trap in there, which will be nice, I think, to just, just to do it. And we all come up on the same one, so that's nice.
You'll have to maintain the tradition of signing the beams under the stage.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of names down there now, so...
Never been down there.
Mm-hmm. When did that tradition start, Neil?
Oh, God, I don't know. I mean, look at it.
This is something you should know.
And it is really, it does feel like something that I should know, but I have sort of spent time down there looking at those boards whilst waiting to do trap work. And there's dates going back to the 40s, the 30s.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. There's lots of pencils high up on the boards around the main great
trap. The actual frame.
Yeah, around the framework around there. It's really interesting to look at some of those dates on there.
Yeah,
actually.
It's really cool. Yeah. So, yeah, we get to do that.
Brilliant. Somewhere. Right, well, I think we're almost at a point where we're going to need to get ourselves ready for rehearsals because we are just about to do our final run. Before we do, way, way back in 2020, after the big, great lockdown, we started our musical theatre playlist on Spotify, and this is our musical theatre list. It's like our ultimate musical theatre playlist. Mm-hmm. It's all the best songs that there possibly is. And now, everyone who's come onto the podcast since that point has added a song onto the list. I know, Lauren and Brian, you've added a song already, but I'm feeling kind, so I'm going to let you have another one.
Thanks.
Now, these songs are songs that we've sung, they're songs from shows that we've been in, or songs that just mean something special to us. So, having a look down the list, I've picked out some people that are in our cast or are associated with Two Feathers. Mm-hmm. So Joe Hillard, last year's Frankie Valli, he chose Me in the Sky from Come From Away, which is interesting considering next year we're doing Come From Away. Alex Tui, The Boss, he chose He's My Boy from Everybody's Talking About Jamie. Eve Pazar chose You Can't Stop the Beat from Hairspray.
That it's was very Eve.
It's very Eve. Yeah.
She was on the podcast
for real.
She was on for 16 when they did, not 16, 6.
6. Oh, the 16 edition.
Yes, the 16 edition. Yes, that was it. Charlie Williams, the first time he was on, chose The American and Florence / Nobody's Side from Chess.
Yeah, he loves Chess.
Which I think is a song that you've done, isn't it, Catherine?
It was. Yeah, I didn't know he did that. Cool.
Yeah, he did. He loves
Lauren's Chess. Also been Florence.
Not here, though.
Not here.
Elsewhere. Elsewhere. Far away.
I was just a sorted ensemble part in Chess when I did it back in 2000.
And Brian was what
pop choir. I was pop choir.
Well, we can't say what we call
it. Oh, no, we can't say the actual term. This is a family-friendly podcast. So we'll go with the official term, pop choir.
Yes.
And then in the last episode, Meg chose Someone X at Supper Time 2, which is fantastic, from Little Shop Horrors. Yeah. And Jack chose I Can Make You a Man from the Rocky Horror Show.
Very Jack Divers.
Which is very Jack Divers. Mm-hmm. So, ladies, which songs would you like to add and why? Catherine, do you want to go first since you've not had one before?
Okay, so, confession. I didn't read your list because I asked you. I just asked you last night. I said, has anyone picked anything from The Great Gatsby? Because I'm lucky enough at the moment in my life to be able to get the chance to watch a lot of theatre. And in the last few years, especially post-COVID and stuff, I was like, if I'm ever in London or I go to Canada a lot for work, if I'm in cities where there's shows on, I'm just going to watch them. And I had a couple of evenings to kill in London in May and got a last-minute ticket to The Great Gatsby. Didn't know anything about it. And it smacked me between the eyes in a way that nothing has recently.
Mm.
It was opulent. Expensive, music was amazing, the costumes were fantastic, the choreography was fantastic, and I'm going again with Alex. Actually, I'd already booked the tickets with Alex before I saw it the first time, even though I didn't know much about it, but it's just great fun. So I'm going to pick the opening number, which is called Roaring On.
Roaring On, because of the Roaring 20s.
Yes.
That would be why.
And it's won some Tony Awards, I think mainly for costume.
Yeah.
And it's just a big, glamorous, opulent musical, which is quite unusual these days.
I recently read the original novel, and literally the day after I finished reading it, I put it down, and suddenly my Facebook and Instagram starts exploding with all this stuff advertising the show. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to go see this.
Let's go now.
Yeah.
Well, it's finishing. Alex and I actually, so the reason I booked it is because it corresponded with some dates we're going to be in London in September, and it's the last performance. So I thought, oh, we'll just go and see that because it's the last opportunity.
Yeah.
So don't wait too long.
No. And your sister's working in London at the moment as well, isn't she?
She's in Harry Potter. I'm very proud of her.
Mm. And she's swing, isn't she?
She's, well, I don't want to get it wrong. I don't know if we call it swing, but she's got lots and lots and lots of different tracks.
Yeah.
Mm. I saw her when she was playing her Ginny
right.
track. So, yeah, very proud of her.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So nice to see another Manxy in the West End West doing End. Their business.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Lauren, what's your choice?
Mine's going to get a little bit deep here. Sorry, guys.
Oh.
bring the tone. Yeah. But it's nice. It's nice. No, I want to add Never Enough from The Greatest Showman, because I always associated that film with my dad because it was one of his favourite films, and anyone that came into the house, he would make them sit and watch it in dead silence. makes them sit and watch this whole film.
Not allowed to sit
even if they popped in for a cup of tea, they'd be there for 3 hours watching this film. And Never Enough was one of his favourite songs from it. And I used to always beg me to sing it. And I never thought I could sing it. And then when he passed away a couple of years ago, I sang and recorded a version of it to play at his funeral.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And it was one of the things that I'm really proud of that I've done. So yeah, it just every time I hear it, I feel proud of myself.
Yeah. Good, and you should feel proud of yourself because it's a very beautiful That's version.
Thank you. So yeah, that one.
Smashing.
Good choice.
So we're going to put that version on.
Yes.
No.
By Lauren Holly.
No, the actual one.
The actual one. Okay. No
problem. It's nice. So.
Okay, Bryony, what's your choice?
Okay, I'm going to go a similar line to Catherine actually, because this list. It's very long now.
Yes, it is.
And there are lots and lots of songs already.
I'm heading on to page 3 now.
I know, there's a lot. And there's already quite a few songs from Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
Normally I would go like, oh, let's put one in from the show, but there's a few. So I'm going to do, similar to Catherine, I'm going to go with a show I watched recently that's quite new, Benjamin Button, the musical.
Right.
Big fan. It's now one of my favourite shows. It's brilliant. Very, very different. If you know the story of Benjamin Button, no, you don't. Really, like
right.
very different.
You think you do not.
The similarity, literally set in Cornwall. It's set in a fishing village in Cornwall.
Yes. Right.
So it's very, very different. The only similarity is that it's about a man that ages in reverse. That's the similarity. But it's just got such a lovely, I don't know, like theme, a lovely idea behind it, that it's about making the most of what you've got and the time that you've got.
Yeah.
And realizing what's important and like the people that are important and kind of. Yeah, just making the most of the little bit of life that you've got, really.
Yeah.
And the music is great. It's actor musicians, so it's there's
like once.
So it's got maybe a cast of like 12, 13 people.
Right.
They play everybody. They all play multiple instruments. If you ever want to feel bad about your own ability, watch that show. I felt very humble leaving that theatre.
Tap dancing while singing and playing the fiddle.
Honestly, fantastic. So brilliant. And the music is great. It's very, I think, because of where we are on the island, I think it's very, it feels
quite Celtic.
Very Celtic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, feels very Celtic. So the music is fantastic and the story's great and it's very poignant but lovely and heartwarming at the same time. So I'm going to go with When Air She Looked At Me.
Right.
It's a nice song, but all of it's great, so everyone should listen to the whole album. You know,
that's the thing I really love about this and the podcast, mm-hmm. because people come along with shows that I've never heard of before, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, I really need to listen to that. I'm like, Ian came along.
Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet.
Yes.
He's obsessed with
that. I know. I'd
never heard of that before.
Wow, yeah.
What a show.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there you go. Thank you very much, ladies. We better get ourselves tidied up and sorted off.
Go get some notes.
Get some notes, yes. So, Little Shop of Horrors. One last time. Yes. Well, no, it won't be one last time because Sarah will be giving us notes every night.
One last time in the hall.
One last time in the hall, yes. Okay, Little Shop of Horrors runs at the Gaiety Theatre from Saturday the 12th to Saturday the 19th of July with performances nightly at 7:30 p.m. There are two matinee performances on each of the Saturdays, which start at 2:30 p.m. But there is no show on Sunday the 13th because we get a day off.
Woohoo!
Is there not?
No.
No?
Day off. Don't turn up to the theatre.
Is there one on the Monday?
Yes.
Okay.
No Sunday, but we are doing Monday.
Great. Okay.
So don't turn up on Sunday and not arrive on Monday. If you've not done so already, you can get your tickets from villagated.com or by calling 600-555. Bryony, Lauren, Catherine, thanks for joining me on the podcast today. And we better get ourselves off to rehearsals.
Thanks for having us.
Let's go.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast with Neil Cullen.
Let's have another quick look forward to what's still to come this year. So first up, as we mentioned, Two Feathers present Little Shop of Horrors from the 12th to the 19th of July at the Gaiety Theatre. Taylorian Productions are next at the Gaiety with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which runs from the 31st of July to the 9th of August. Paradox Theatre Company follow this with a brand new play called In Their Blood at the King's Court Theatre from the 14th to the 16th of August.
Tickets are now on sale for Madford's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, which will be performed in the grounds of Government House on the 5th, 6th and 7th of September. On the 5th of October at the Ville Marina, Staged present The Musicals in Concert, featuring Stephen Palfreman and his West End chums, and students from their summer holiday stage school bringing you all the hits from West End and Broadway. From the 10th to the 18th of October, Centre Stage Productions are bringing The Band to the stage of the Gaiety, all set to the backdrop of Take That's Greatest Hits. On the 23rd of October, the American Drama Group present TNT Theatre in George Orwell's 1984 at the Gaiety Theatre. And finally, it's the Service Plays, who'll be presenting Henry Gibson's A Doll's House, directed by Daniel Sebastian Gray at the Bellarmine Studio Theatre from the 20th to the 22nd of November. Well, with that, we bring episode 70 to a close. Thanks once again to Bryony, Lauren and Catherine for joining me on the podcast, and we wish everyone involved with Two Feathers' production of Little Shop of Horrors all the very best for opening night and their run. Don't forget to check out the Spotify playlist by searching for Manx Theatre Podcast. There's over 120 tracks on there now and well over 8 hours of show tunes to satisfy your musical theatre needs. If you have any events that you'd like me to talk about or promote on a future episode, you can contact me through the podcast social media accounts or by email to manxtheatrepodcast@gmail.com. All that remains is to say thanks for listening, and I hope you join me again next time. I've been Neil Callan, and you've been listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast. Goodbye.
The Manx Theatre Podcast, taking a look behind the scenes of Manx Theatre.
Than actors' life for me.